Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, another interview with Laura DiDio, the Amityville Horror Investigation. George and Kathy Lutz knew that the experience they endured that would later be known as the Amityville Horror was all too real. Their drive to be believed and understood led them to an array of paranormal experts, religious figures, and media personalities. On the night of March 6, 1976, reporter Laura DiDio would help to put together a massive team of these personalities to investigate and try to understand exactly what was happening at 112 Ocean Avenue. This would turn out to be a night none of them would ever forget. Members of the Channel 5 camera crew would get violently ill and have visions they couldn't explain. Sensitives would become overwhelmed and be forced to leave. And the spirit of what appears to be the ghost of a little boy was caught on camera. This night would later be dubbed the Amityville Horror Psychic Sleepover.
The Lutzes started inviting people to go into the house that night. Mm-hmm. The folks at Channel 5 invited another reporter from WNEW Radio, which was our affiliate radio station.
Sure.
The Warrens invited a couple of people. So all of a sudden, instead of it just being the Warrens and Channel 5, you know, we had a cast of about 20 people.
Yeah.
Which was not necessarily conducive to a great seance.
Sure. It becomes almost a tour than it does a seance at that point.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember showing up that night at the house and it was lit up. All the floors were lit up and Alex Tanaus, who was part of a psychic New York Institute for Psychic Research in Manhattan. He was he looked like almost like a vampire. I didn't know who he was. And he appeared at the one of the side windows there. I almost jumped off the doorstep because he had, you know, hawk-like nose, dark circles under his eyes. I was just so startled.
And in that setting, yeah, it just adds to the mysteriousness.
I had no idea that all of these extra people were going to show up.
Sure.
You know? The other thing that happened was that there was a switch on of reporters. By the way, at Channel 5, the irony about the Amityville coverage on Channel 5, the only ones who were excited about doing this were myself and Mark Monsky. Steve Bauman was not excited about doing this story because he was a serious reporter doing a ghost story, quote unquote, you know, could wreck his reputation. Oh, and by the way, what happened was he suddenly took off for a vacation in one, you know, in Bermuda in mid-afternoon. I didn't know this. Marvin Scott was pressed into service, much to his chagrin, because he and his wife had tickets to go out for months to go to a Broadway show that they had, you know, was sold out for months with friends. Okay, so he wasn't happy. Nobody wanted this. So, you know.
Turns out to be one of the most infamous stories in the history of ghost stories.
Nobody wanted it.
Yeah.
This big.
Exactly. Yeah.
When you're, as you know, when you're in the news business,
you have no idea. Yep.
So if you're going from one thing to another, after a while, it's especially in New York, it's just another murder. It's just another robbery. It's just another plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you think about it. It's very pedestrian. So Marvin, actually, when I happened to call the station that afternoon at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, asking for Steve Bauman, they said he wasn't around. He had gone on vacation. I said, what do you mean? And at that point, Marvin had grabbed the phone and said, hey, I've just been assigned this story. Tell me everything about it. I know nothing about it. And he was pretty ticked off, you know, because his wife was ready to divorce him. All the late nights, and now you're basically cutting out on. We've had these tickets that it took us months to get, and I've been wanting to go to this Broadway show for months. It's been sold out, and now you're canceling on us
to go to a haunted house.
So,
yeah,
I know, for a haunted house.
Yeah,
and at that point, it was not that big a story.
Sure.
Again, so when we, you know, we got there and, you know, more and more people were showing up. Mm-hmm. So, it was quite the thing. And then what happened, unfortunately, when we did the seance itself, after the seance in the, with the, and we had all of these psychics there that Lorraine had invited, we had one of the psychics ran out of the room screaming, saying, it's in the second floor bedroom. Somebody else ran out and got sick on the front lawn. I was sitting in between Marvin Scott and Mike Linder. And all of a sudden, at one point, Marvin said to me, hey, I just felt a chill. And then 5 minutes later, Mike Linder said to me, hey, I just felt a chill. Now, in the ensuing years and decades since, when Marvin has talked about it, he says, yeah, at one point during the seance, I felt a little chill. I can tell you that night when Marvin felt the chill, he didn't say, yeah, I felt a little chill. He says, hey, I just felt a chill.
Yeah.
And Marvin has always said he did not, he's felt more afraid watching the movie when the Amityville Horror came out, more afraid with all the kids throwing popcorn and smoking pot in the theater. but one of the things that happened that night of March 6th, when we got there, that really struck me, and everybody admitted this, was that our cameraman, Steve Petropoulos, he was about 40, he was slim, and in those days, you had a three-man film crew, cameraman, sound guy, and the lighting guy, and the equipment was much bigger and heavier in those days. So the cameraman, those guys had to be in shape. Steve Petropoulos was based in New Jersey. And again, it wasn't a huge story. And he was one of our, he wasn't one of our regular staff camera guys. He was one of our regular, like, fourth or fifth guys. So he was a regular stringer for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, the camera guys, the film crew arrived at about 10 o'clock. And they, Steve Petropoulos started to walk up the stairs to the second floor. That was where everybody, started. There was one spot at the second floor landing where people felt things. But Steve walked up. Steve and I were chatting at the foot of the stairs, and I was introducing him to the different psychics. So Steve says, I'm going to take a look around. And he started to walk up the stairs, and he got five steps up, and he said to myself and Alberta Riley, she was one of the other psychics that Ed and Lorraine Warren had invited, he turns around and he says, there's a room on the second floor, the second door on the right, he says, and it's filled with mirrors. And he said to me, I don't know how I know that. Now, I had been in the house before, the week before. That was the master bedroom. That was the DeFeo's bed, Louise and Ronald DeFeo Sr.'s bedroom, where they had been shot. The wall behind their bed had those 12 by 12 mirrored tiles, like in Las Vegas.
Sure.
So I'm like, okay. And again, that really hadn't been in any of the papers. So I don't know how he would know that.
Yeah.
So he then continued up the stairs, and before he reached the landing, just when he gets almost to the top landing, he doubled over in pain, and his face that, he was, it got red, and then the blood drained out of his face, and he stumbled down the stairs, and we he's clutching his chest, and he said that he's gasping, and he said his heart started to palpitate wildly as though he was having a heart attack, and he doesn't have any history of heart trouble.
Yeah.
And so, we get him some water, and he sat there and calmed down, and it passed. And then no sooner does Steve Petropoulos, our cameraman, recover than Mary Pascarella, who's another one of the psychics that who's the Warrens had invited, she's taken ill, and she feels nauseous and dizzy. So they take her upstairs so she can lie down and rest. So at that point, it's now about 10:45, and we started to gather around the dining room table and to begin the seance. And we've basically got a cross and candles.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of other people, I think, that the Lutzes, that George Lutz had invited. And that was, they were from Duke University or... that school of parapsychology. And they were sort of skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
And for a little, there was some contretemps going on between them and Ed Warren. And Ed basically said to them that those two that he really didn't want them present because they were challenging the house. And so there was that, there was that going around. But
sure.
We had to hold up the seance for a little bit. This was kind of funny because we had to get the camera, the right camera angles and lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Ed Warren, the candles and the crucifix are there to serve as irritants to antagonize the demonic force. So, again, Ed, in this instance, as Lorraine went into the trance, the light trance state acts as the guide.
Mm-hmm.
So, at first, Lorraine got nothing except a solid, dark mass.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.